dalawang magkaibigan yung gumamit ng tandem bike at nung nakaakyat na sila doon sa Burol, sabi nung isa, "Ay, napakahirap namang umahon dito sa Burol na ito. Pero buti na lang, nakaya natin." Sabi naman ng pangalawa, "Oo nga, kung hindi ako pumipreno, malamang paatras tayo." Bakit nga ba ganun? Kung kailan nais nating abutin ng isang bagay, ay meron namang pumipigil sa atin. Pero ang biyaya ng Diyos ay walang makapipigil. At ang kaharian ng Diyos, kailanman ay walang makakahadlang. Welcome to Cross World Online Worship. And today our topic is Unhindered Grace. Yes, Unhindered Grace, walang makapipigil sa biyaya ng Panginoon. And let's take a look at the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. No, basahin po natin ang sinasabi ng salita ng Panginoon. "Meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." Ang background po nito, mga kapatid, nasa chapter 9 ng Acts ito, no? Talagang ang church po ay nag-grow very fast. And the more the church was persecuted, the more it doubled its number. And the believers were scattered all around, no? Saturating the whole empire, Roman Empire. At ang pangamba ni Saul, the Pharisee, was that the false teaching, no, about Jesus Christ will infect the whole world. Kaya ang sabi niya, kinakailangang mapigilan ito. Ang tanong nga lang, napigilan ba niya? Okay? Let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us with the message for this day. Panginoon, salamat po sapagkat ang biyaya mo ay sagana, makapangyarihan, at wala pong makapipigil. At dalangin po namin sa pagkakataong ito, lalong lumutang sa aming kalagitnaan ang iyong pagmamahal sa amin. At ito'y magbunsod sa amin upang magmahal naman sa iba. Sa iyo ang papuri at luwalhati sa pangalan ni Jesus. Amen and amen. So balikan po natin ang sabi dito ay in verse 3. Let's take a look at verse 3. "As he neared Damascus on his journey." Kasi si Saulo po ay gusto niyang pigilan ang paglago ng Christianity. "Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed. It flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now, get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" So Saul was supposed to stop the growth of Christianity, but it was God who stopped him. Saul was supposed to arrest the believers of the way, but Jesus instead arrested him on his way to Damascus. This is the grace of God. The grace of God is unhindered, no, and it cannot hinder, no, saving lives. Even the very life of this number one persecutor of Christianity in the first century, none other than Saul the Pharisee. Okay. So, dahil nakita po natin yung unhindered grace, no, anong ginagawa ng grace na ito, no, na hindi mo mapipigilan? Number one is the grace for salvation. The grace for salvation. No? Kung meron pong isang tao na siguro pinakahuling maliligtas, walang iba kundi si Saul or si Saul, no, sapagkat siya po yung talagang chief persecutor, number one staunch opponent of Christianity, no, during the first century. Ang pangalan po niya ay Saul. Sabi po ng iba, noon daw non-believer siya, Saul ang pangalan niya, noong naging believer, naging Paul na. Ay hindi po totoo yun, no. Hindi binago ni Jesus yung pangalan ni Saul, from Saul to Paul. Yun po kasing Saul ay Hebrew name niya. Kaya noong unang mga yugto ng kanyang ministry na naka-concentrate sa mga Hudyo, ang ginagamit niya ay Saul. In fact, si Jesus mismo, tinawag siya na Saul. Pero nung nagsimula na po siya mag-minister sa mga Gentiles, ay pinilitan na niya yung pangalan niya ng, actually hindi naman niya pinilitan. Yung Paul po kasi is Latin, na pwedeng mag-cater sa mga Greeks and mga Romans. No? Kaya Saul and Paul, pareho po yan, mga kapatid. At sino ba itong si Saul? Si Saul po ay isang Pharisee. At ang kanyang testimony doon sa Philippians 3 verse 5 tungkol sa kanyang resume nung ipinagtatanggol niya yung kanyang pagiging apostle, ang sabi niya dito, "I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous, that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault." Ang tindi po ng credentials itong si Apostle Paul. At ang sabi niya, beyond his credentials, he had the zeal, no, to advance Judaism, to protect the law, to protect the temple from any assault, no, even from Jesus himself. Yun pong zeal na ito, we can describe this as a zeal of Elijah when he fought the 450 prophets on Mount Carmel. It was the zeal of Phinehas. Naalala niyo ba yon? Noong nagkaroon ng plague. At ang ginawa ni Phinehas, yung pong pinatay po niya yung mga nagko-commit ng immorality in broad daylight. And God was pacified because of the zeal of Phinehas. So itong zeal din na ito, ang gustong makuha nitong si Saul. Kaya nga, ang sabi dun sa verse 1, sabi dito, he was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He has such colossal intellect. He was so educated, no, in the Jewish law. 5 years old pa lang po siya, mga kapatid. Inaaral niya na ang Torah. At nangarap na po siya na maging rabbi. No, from the tribe of Benjamin, he was so proud to be named after the first king of Israel. Nakagaya po ni Saul na isang Benjamite din. He came from a well-to-do family. At trilingual po siya. No, marunong siya magsalita ng Greek, Aramaic, Hebrew, at kahit po Roman. Ano? He was trilingual. And he was blameless according to law. And he could not tolerate any false teaching and blasphemy against the law, against the temple, against Israel. So for him, Jesus Christ was a false teacher. And his influence must be stopped. In fact, yung kamatayan po ni Stephen, that incensed him all the more. Kaya nga sabi dito, he was breathing out threats. He was fuming with murderous threats. No? And the irony of it all is that his mind was filled with theology, but his heart was filled with hatred. How can it be? No? He was so full of knowledge and so much rage. Dahil po, pakiramdam niya, ginagawa niya ang lahat ng ito, no, to protect God, to protect His people. At in the future, marami pong magpe-persecute sa atin, no, in the name of God Himself. That unless the Lord arrest Paul or Saul, ay hindi po talaga pong itutuloy niya yung kanyang pag-uusig sa mga mananampalataya. Now, on his way to Damascus, sabi po dito, siya po'y kumuha ng kasulatan pa mula sa mga high priest, no? Para bigyan siya ng sulat para doon sa mga sinagoga sa Damascus. Kasi po, ang Damascus ay isang napakalaking syudad, isang key hub ito, entry point po ito, and at the same time, a port going towards Syria, to Lebanon, to Turkey, no? Patungo po ng Mesopotamia, patungo ng Saudi Arabia. Ito po'y napakatinding, sabihin nating transit point eh. Kaya sabi niya, kailangan agapan para sa kanya, kailangan agapan ang Christianity na hindi ito makalampas doon. Sapagkat pagka nakalampas ito, nako, sabi niya, pakiramdam niya, no? Eh, mapapahamak yung Judaism. And Damascus is 220 kilometers from Jerusalem. So siguro mga ilang araw mo ding lalakbayin ito. And Damascus has 20,000 population with 11 synagogues. So si Paul, na isang batang-batang Pharisee, alam mo, hindi siya agad makakakuha ng audience with the high priest kung hindi siya exceptional at kung hindi siya well-known yung kanyang pamilya. Ibig sabihin nito, prominent ang pamilya ni Saul at pinangkilig siya ng high priest. At palagay ko, on his way to Damascus, yung mga mananampalataya doon sa Damascus, they were so afraid for their lives. At kung sila'y natatakot, palagay ninyo, ano kaya ang panalangin nila? Siguro habang paparating si Saul, ang panalangin po nila, Lord, can you divert his attention and lead him away from this city? O Lord, can you punish him and let him be attacked by lions? Lord, can you strike him with lightning, or can you spare us from this and let him be eaten by lions? And all, ang daming pwedeng ipanalangin. No, Lord, save us, spare us. No, itaboy mo po siya. So, kasi alam po nila talaga mahirapan sila. And they prayed, and they had prayer chains, and they had prayer warriors. No, so that Saul will not be able to enter Damascus. Pero sa palagay niyo naman, ano kaya ang panalangin naman itong si Saul? Siguro po habang siya ay naglalakbay sa kanyang kabayo, ay ang panalangin niya ganito. Kasi alam niya, tinatamang ginagawa niya. Probably he was praying, Lord, can you help me arrest these traitors, these heretics, no? Itong mga nagpapropagate ng false teaching na ito, na enemies of the law and enemies of Judaism and enemies of the temple. Lord, let me stop the spread of this false teaching for your glory. Siguro sinasabi niya, Lord, I'm doing this for your glory so that you will be glorified. Siguro sa pagkakataon na yun, habang siya'y nangangabayo, sabi niya, Lord, can you just show me your glory? Alam niyo po, ang mga Pharisees, meron silang isang paboritong panalangin at ang panalangin po nila yung Ezekiel chapter 1 na kung saan gusto nilang makita ang glory ng Panginoon. Kaya lagi nilang nire-recite yun, ano, na parang si Ezekiel, nung siya'y nakakita po ng chariot of fire, na nakalagay po doon yung four living creatures, na iba-ibang mukha po yun, apat na mukha, apat na wheels, at habang tinitingnan mo, nagliliyab po yan sa kanyang kaluwalhatian. At habang umaangat po yan, at siya naman ay napapatingala, ay matutuon po ang kanyang pansin doon sa trono, kung sinong nakaupo doon sa trono. At alam mo, siguro habang minemeditate ni Apostle Paul, ninitong si Saul, yung Ezekiel chapter 1, no? Yung chariot of fire, at nung umangat na po ang kanyang mga mata, laking gulat po niya, mga kapatid, nung ang nakita niyang nakaupo sa trono, si Jesus Christ. Wow! It was Jesus! And he was blinded by the brightness and the brilliance of the glory of Jesus. He was as if he was struck by lightning. Imagine mo, in broad daylight, he saw the glory of God, brighter than the sun. And he was blinded by it. At ang, nung siya po'y napabagsak na sa kanyang kabayo, at siya po'y napahandusay doon, nagsalita po yung liwanag at ang sabi, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Then ang tanong niya, who are you, Lord? Imagine, the Lord knows the name of Saul. You may have some reservations about Jesus Christ. You may have some reservations about Christianity. But for sure, the Lord knows who you are. The Lord knows your thoughts from afar. The Lord is intimately acquainted with you. He knows exactly what you're doing and what you're about to do. Kaya that Damascus encounter, instead of him arresting the believers of Jesus, he was arrested by Jesus himself. Sabi nga ni N.T. Wright, all his life is fulfilled and all his life is shattered. And this is the most devastating and the most fulfilling moment in the life of Saul. Kaya po, tatlong araw po siyang, ginabayan po siya ng kanyang mga kasama. Kasi nga, wala siyang makita. At dinala po doon sa Damascus na blinded. And it took 3 days. No? 3 days of prayer and fasting. 3 days before he regained his sight. And probably what was going on in his mind during those 3 days. No, alam mo yan, yung bang pinaglaanan mo ng lahat ng panahon, nag-invest ka ng pag-aaral, ng pagsisiyasat, and then all of a sudden, all that you have learned, you're acquainted with, and even the teachings that you are defending and fighting for, even willing to kill for and die for, is shattered. But at the same time, tinatry niyang i-wrestle that everything that he has learned from Moses, from Adam, Moses, to David, to Elijah, to Daniel, all of them. Habang inaaral po niya, siguro in 3 days, finally, he came to the conclusion that Jesus is the very fulfillment of everything that he studied and everything that he hoped for and everything that he wished for. It's both devastating and at the same time, fulfilling. Kapatid ikaw, where are you headed to? You're on your way to what place? And I pray that the Lord will do something so that he will reveal himself to you so that you will get to know him. God will use the light to call your attention. And if needed, he can even use the darkness. He can even use sickness. He can even use the death of a loved one. God can use anything and will use anything just to get your attention. For Saul, it was a dazzling light. It was a personal encounter with Jesus Christ himself. So this is the grace of God. It will never let you go. It will pursue you relentlessly until you are saved. This is unhindered grace, the grace for your salvation. Secondly, hindi lamang grace for salvation, but grace for service is the grace to serve. 3 days after, ito po ang nangyari. Kinausap ng Panginoon si Ananias, at ang sabi sa kanya ng Panginoon kay Ananias na, Ananias, go to the straight street in the house of Judas and look for Saul. No? He is from Tarsus and he is praying. And in a vision, I showed him that a man named Ananias will come and pray for him so that his sight will be restored. So sinabi niya yung kay Ananias. Ang sabi naman ni Ananias, Lord, no Lord. Sabi niya ganoon, ang dami kong nabalita ang report tungkol dito at namamamatay tao ito at pag-persecute ang mga mananampalataya. Sabi niya, siguro meron siyang takot sa kanyang puso, meron siyang pag-aatubili na Lord. Meron pang authority ito na arrestuhin kami. Baka mamaya nagkukunwari-kunwari lang ito. Pero sabi ng Panginoon kay Ananias, sabi niya, you go. Because this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim the name of my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So medyo reluctant si Ananias, ano? Alam niyo po kasi, nung 3 days before, that was a glorious appearance of Jesus, ano? Talagang grabe, majestic. Pero after 3 days, this is just an ordinary meet-up. Wala namang himalang nangyari. At nung nakita itong si Ananias at itong si Saul, ang tawag niya kay Saul ay Brother Saul. Look at that. Yung persecutor, tinawag na niyang brother. No? Brother Saul. Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. At pinatungan ng kamay ni Ananias, si Saul, at meron pong nalaglag na parang scale or lens sa kanyang mga mata at natanggal yun, nakakita po siya. And pinag-pray po siya ni Ananias, pinatungan ng kamay, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately he was baptized. Amazing. Alam po ninyo, gagawa ang Panginoon ng paraan para makol yung attention. But he will still use a man to explain things to you. Oo, magsasalita ang Panginoon sa iyo through the Bible, sometimes through your dreams. But you need someone to tell you, no, what you needed to know. And Ananias was such a man. Na hindi nga natin kilala kung sino itong si Ananias. Wala tayong background tungkol sa kanya. But he was faithful, he was ready, an ordinary person. Pero minsan lang nabanggit ang kanyang pangalan sa Bible. Pero grabe naman yung nawin niya. It's the Saul, the persecutor, who became Paul, the apostle, the preacher of the word. At pagkatapos po nun, mga kapatid, nung talagang na-regain na ni Saul yung kanyang strength, he began going to the synagogues and preaching that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Kaya muna, nagulantang talaga yung buong Damascus. Kasi ang alam po nila, darating si Saul doon para ipagtanggol ang Judaism, and then to their surprise and to their dismay, to their shock, abay, bumaliktad po ang lahat. At si Saul ay nangaral tungkol kay Jesus Christ. And siguro, it took 3 weeks no doing that. And after that, na-persecute na po siya doon sa Damascus. At ang ginawa po ng mga kapatiran doon ay inihugos na lang po siya doon sa bintana, malapit sa wall. Kasi marami pong nagtatangkang patayin na si Saul sa Damascus. Ginawa po niya, pumunta po siya ng Jerusalem. At pagdating sa Jerusalem, probably he spent 3 months in Jerusalem. And he began associating with the believers. But unfortunately, the believers were so afraid of him. And they feared, you know, identifying themselves with Saul. But, interesting, mga kapatid, Barnabas was there. Alam niyo po, pangalan ni Barnabas is, ang ibig sabihin nito is the son of encouragement. At ang ginawa po niya nung nakita niya na nagpipreach si Paul, si Saul, pero walang nakikinig, at natatakot yung mga mananampalataya, ang ginawa niya, kinausap niya itong si Saul, at nalaman niya ang buong storya, at ang ginawa po niya, in-endorse niya si Saul sa mga believers. And they were overjoyed to find out that indeed, Saul became a Christian. So imagine mo, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, no? Alam nyo, hindi ho naging madali para kay Saul na mag-launch into the ministry. Medyo matigas din ang puso niya eh. Alam nyo naman, nung unang ma-encounter niya ang Panginoong Jesus, hindi pa agad siya nanampalataya eh. He waited for 3 days bago siya fully manampalataya at magpabaptize until makilala niya itong si Ananias. And then it took 3 months no in Jerusalem para siya tanggapin, and it took 3 years para mag-aral po siya in Arabia to listen directly to the Lord Jesus Christ and be taught and then be trained by the Lord himself. And then it took 10 more years before he launched into the worldwide mission, no, of reaching the whole Roman Empire for the Lord Jesus Christ. So kung titingnan po natin mga kapatid, hindi po siya kagaya ni ano eh. Alam niyo kung nanood kayo ng Matrix, yung parang si Neo nung nainom niya yung red pill, 'di ba? Parang na-download sa kanya lahat ng mga information na kailangan niya malaman. And all of a sudden, no, he's expert in a lot of things, no. Hindi po ganoon nangyari kay Paul, yung bang the moment that he came to know the Lord, alam niya na lahat at naging powerful preacher na siya. Hindi po ganoon eh. Hindi yung kagaya din nung kapartner ni Neo sa Matrix na si Trinity, no, na hinili niya, i-download mo nga sa akin yung ano, pagdadrive ng motorbike. Kaya sinakyan niya yung Ducati. Tapos walang kahirap-hirap na bakit. Dinownload instantly. It was not like that for Apostle Paul. It took years. There was a process for him. God prepared him. No? Through the years, there was training, there was preparation, and then 10 years he waited until he was launched into a worldwide ministry. Hindi niya magagawa yan kung walang mga taong tumulong sa kanya. Okay, it's the grace of God that will help you to become an Ananias. It's only the grace of God that will help you to become like Barnabas. No? Una, Ananias, winning souls. Barnabas, following up and consolidating. At alam natin ang story ni Apostle Paul. Ang dami pong sumampalataya through his ministry. But eventually, ang dami rin pong tumalikod sa kanya. Ang dami rin nag-backslide. Ang dami mga biters. Ang daming mga rebels. No? In fact, may mga sinasabi siya na all of Asia deserted him. But there remained faithful men and women, no, who supported him all the way. No, kagaya ni Luke, ni Dr. Luke, kagaya ni Timothy, ni Titus, ni Philemon, ni Onesimus, ni Epaphroditus, no, itong mga Priscilla and Aquila. So kahit sabihin natin may mga taong tatalikod sa atin at iiwanan tayo, God will give us a few good men and women who will stay with us and help us so that we can fulfill our purpose in serving Him. Kahit si Barnabas po, nung una, sa bilin, siya nga ang una eh. Siya po ang una. Pero habang nagpo-progress po yung Book of Acts, ang nangyari ay naging prominent na si Paul at naging parang pangalawang billing na lang itong si Barnabas. Pero walang issue yun kay Barnabas. Kahit siya ay na-overshadow at na-outshine ni Paul, it didn't matter to him. Why? As long as the Lord gets the credit, as long as God is glorified, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. Kaya the Book of Acts is filled with people who are God-centered, not self-centered, not self-serving. No? Hindi yung makasarili, kundi yung naglilingkod para sa kaluwalhatian ng Diyos at para sa kapakanan ng mga mananampalataya at mga makakakilala pa lang sa Panginoon. Si Ravi Zacharias, nung namatay si Dr. Billy Graham, ay nagbigay siya ng isang eulogy. At ang ganda nung kanyang eulogy na binigay, na parang sinasabi niya na sila John Wesley, he came and died, no, yung mga Martin Luther and even Billy Graham, they all came and they all passed away, no, pero the ministry must go on. At ang sabi niya, he respects these spiritual giants and we stand on their shoulders. But even if they are promoted to glory, the ministry, the mission will go on and will not be unhindered. Let's take a look at his short eulogy about Dr. Billy Graham.
Charles Wesley said, "God buries his workmen, but his work goes on." Wesley came, he left. You know, Sunday came, he left. Moody came, he left. He had all these great speakers. Billy served his time. We can never live in the past, but we must stand on their shoulders. We must stand on their shoulders to look forward, because they are followers, like people like Apostle Paul and Augustine and all of those. They stood on their shoulders. We cannot lose heart. Nor can we place the ultimate confidence in just a human being. Our confidence is in the person of Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. That's who we preach. Paul says we don't preach ourselves. Billy never preached himself. So a great voice has been lost, but the message goes on, and that's what we will continue proclaiming.
So ang bawat isa sa atin ay may mahalagang bahagi sa kaharian ng Diyos, no? At hindi natin pwedeng tawaran o maliitin kung ano man ang pwedeng contribution ng bawat isa. Okay. So si Ananias, siyang nag-share ng gospel kay Saul. Si Barnabas, siyang nag-follow up kay Saul. Now, ang tanong ko lang, sino naging Ananias ng buhay mo? Sino nag-share ng gospel sa'yo? Napasalamatan mo na ba siya? Maganda siguro, hindi lang pasalamatan mo siya, kundi ang the best way to thank him is that you also play the role of Ananias to someone else. Sort of playing it forward. Paying it forward. Okay? Who has been a Barnabas to you? Sino may nag-follow up sa'yo? Nag-alaga sa'yo, nagturo sa'yo magbasa ng Bible, nagturo sa'yo mag-pray, nag-coach sa'yo, inalalayan ka sa iyong faith, sa iyong growth. At sino naman ang tinulungan mo? Parang ikaw naman si Barnabas na inaalalayan mo naman itong bagong mananampalataya. So I pray that the grace of God will abound in you so that you will serve others as well. Kasi may mga taong hindi ko na maaabot pero ikaw kaya mong abutin. May mga taong hindi makikinig sa akin pero sa iyo makikinig. At ikaw lang marahil ang tinig na hinihintay upang makilala ng mga taong ito ang Panginoong Jesus. So let the grace of the Lord, no, help you, propel you so that you can serve others as well. Okay. Pangatlo, hindi lamang grace for salvation, grace for service, but pangatlo is grace in suffering. Grace in suffering. In verse 16, sinabi dito, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Ang bigat naman ito, no? Umpisang-umpisa pa lang. Ewan ko ba, ang Panginoong Jesus, nung nagtatawag siya ng mga disciples, hindi niya sinasabi na, you follow me and you will have a brand new house and lot, a new car, no? And you will be famous and you will be rich and you will have the world at your fingertips. Pag tumatawag siya ng disciples, ang sinasabi niya, you follow me, you carry your cross and follow me, be crucified daily. Wala siyang ano eh, wala siyang incentives or mga promises na if you follow me, you will be well off. Hindi ka magkakasakit, hindi ka malulugi, hindi ka mahihirapan. In fact, mabigat po eh. Ang nag-aabang talaga sa mga susunod sa Panginoong Jesus ay talagang suffering. Para bang kakambal po natin yung suffering. Twin brother, twin sister. Sabi nga ng Panginoon, in this world, you will have tribulation and distress. But do not be grieved because I have overcome the world. Kasi tinawag tayo to conquer. Eh hindi ka pwede maging conqueror kung walang challenger. Hindi ka pwede maging champion kung walang kalaban. Di ba? Sabi nga doon sa Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39, the challenges are trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Pero ang assurance na binigay naman ni Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us. At kahit si Apostle Paul, talagang naranasan po niya yung tigmak na mga pagsubok sa buhay. At talagang inihanda siya ng Panginoon. At alam niya na magsasuffer siya. Di kagaya natin ngayon na konting bagay lang, minsan madali magtampo sa Panginoon. Hindi lang sinagot yung panalangin, hindi lang nagkatrabaho, hindi lang napasok sa school na pangarap, hindi lang nakagraduate. No, madaling magtampo, madaling magalit sa Panginoon at may mga nagsasabi nga, Lord, dahil di mo sinagot yung panalangin ko, hindi na ako magpapatuloy sa'yo. Ang daming mga mananampalataya na hindi mo alam kung sila ba yung mga batang paslit, no? O mga disciple talaga. Look at 2 Corinthians verse 11. Nung sinabi niya ni Apostle Paul na ito yung mga hirap na dinaanan niya. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Akala ko isang beses lang siyang nasiraan ng barko. 3 beses pala. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Wow. Mga kapatid, ihanda natin ang mga sarili natin. Yes, I know the future is bright. Yes, I know my confidence in my heart is this. Just like David, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's my conviction. That's why I look at the future with a positive, optimistic spectacle. No? Why? Because I know the Lord is there. But in case sufferings will come, in case sicknesses and setbacks and like this pandemic happens, no, it doesn't change who God is. He is still good. And He still cares. And in case dumating tayo sa mga ganito mga pagsubok, He promised that He will be with us. And He will carry us through all this. Patuloy pa nga ni Apostle Paul sa 2 Corinthians chapter 12, nanalangin daw siya sa Panginoon kasi nung nakarating siya sa langit, nakakita siya ng mga bagay, nakamangha-mangha na baka maging mayabang siya kapag kinuntay niya sa kanyang puso. Ang ginawa ng Panginoon, binigyan siya ng thorn in the flesh. And he prayed to God that the Lord will remove this thorn in the flesh. But God did not answer the prayer. Instead, ang sabi ng Panginoon is, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Kaya si Apostle Pablo, inihanda niya na yung sarili niya eh. He is, alam mo yun, prepared for the best, but he's ready for the worst. Alam mo yun, ready siya sa pinakamagagandang pwedeng mangyari sa kanyang buhay, pero prepared din siya, whatever worst things will come his way. Basta for the glory of God. Misa nga, si Agabus, yung propeta dun sa Book of Acts, iginapos yung kanyang kamay at sabi niya, may-ari ng belt na ito na nakagapos ng kamay ay ang naghihintay sa kanya doon sa Jerusalem ay mabibilanggo siya. Pinrophesy na mabibilanggo ka doon sa Jerusalem. At ang sabi ng mga kapatiran sa Ephesus, sabi niya, huwag ka nang tumuloy, baka mabilanggo ka nga. Alam mo, sa halip na sabihin ni Paul na, o dahil sinabi nga ng Holy Spirit na mabibilanggo ako, hindi nila ako tutuloy. Alam mo, yung prospect ng mabibilanggo siya, nag-inspire pa sa kanya eh. Ang sabi niya, lalo akong tutuloy. Kahit ako mabilanggo, kahit ako ay maikulong para kay Kristo gagawin ko. Why? Kasi nga, nakaready siya for the worst. Mga kapatid, yun ang kinakailangan natin, matitibay ang dibdib. Hindi pwede ang lampa sa kaharian ng Diyos. Kinakailangan meron tayong paninindigan at ano man ang mangyari sa atin ay tutulungan tayo ng Panginoon at kakayanin po natin ito. Wala na tayong mga tanong-tanong. Eh, sa mga nangyayari sa buhay natin ngayon, dami nating pwedeng itanong. For example, I also have some questions in life na tinanong ko nga yung mga pastor, ano ba mga thoughts ninyo dito? Like for example, Rabbi Zacharias, a man of God, dying from cancer. How do you reconcile that? A man who served God for so many years and then cancer lang ang ikinamatay. Hindi pala lang, cancer ang kinamatay. Ano ba, Brother Eddie Villanueva, isang tinitingala natin na leader ng ating bansa at leader ng church. Okay? In a matter of 3 months, he lost his wife and he lost his daughter. And he was devastated. He had questions. Sabi nga niya, 40 years have I served the Lord. Bakit kinakailangan mangyari sa akin ito? At nung nag-uusap-usap kami ng mga pastor, oh nga, no? Isa mag-iisip ka. Yung bang naghihintay sa mga maglilingkod sa Panginoon? Yung bang future na mga magtatapat sa Panginoon? At kapag kaya na in-entertain natin sa ating puso, eh sasabihin na lang natin na mukhang hindi naman worth maglingkod sa Panginoon. Buti pa, umatras na lang tayo. Kung ganyan din ang mangyayari sa atin, no, buti pa, ang tanong nga lang, saan tayo ba aatras at saan tayo pupunta apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no other way but to move forward. No? Whatever comes our way, no, we move forward. We have questions and these questions have no answers. Doon sa Book of Acts, no? Dalawang apostol yung nakulong. Si Peter at saka si James. Parehong nakulong. Pero magkaiba ng ending. Si James, pinugutan ng ulo. Si Peter, nakawala sa bilangguan. Meron pang escort na anghel. Isipin mo yan. Parehong naglilingkod sa Panginoon, pero magkaiba ng ending. Kung tatanungin mo yung mga misis nung dalawa na yan, siguro yung misis ni Peter, tuwang-tuwa, praise God, dahil nakalaya yung aking asawa. Pero what about the wife of James? Ano kaya nasa isip niya? Bakit naman nakulong yung mister ko? Eh, napatay. Samantalang si Peter, bakit nabuhay? Tandaan natin mga kapatid, it is God's will. There are mysteries that do not belong to us. We don't know the answers. Okay lang namang magtanong sa Panginoon, pero huwag ka lang magtatampo sa Panginoon, kapatid. Kasi kahit itong si Peter at saka itong si, ewan ko ba, parang paborito ng Lord si Peter, ano? Kasi si Peter, noong nasa dagat siya, siya'y lumutang at naglakad sa dagat. Si Paul, nung lumubog ang barko, siya'y lumangoy. Hindi ho siya lumakad sa dagat at hindi rin naman nahati yung dagat. Eh kung matampuhin si Pablo, isasabihin niya, bakit ganon? Bakit si Pedro lumakad sa tubig? Bakit? Ang daming mga tanong, di ba? Bakit ganon? Bakit namatay si ganito? Bakit cancer ang kinamatay? Bakit ganito mang nangyayari? At madalas natatakot na tayo para sa ating sarili. But let this verse be an encouragement to us in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. Ang sabi niya, see now that I am He and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded and it is I who heal. It is I who heal and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. It is God's sovereignty. And God's sovereign, remember this, is full of wisdom and full of love. He knows exactly what He's doing, and He will accomplish His will, no? Whatever the means or whatever the course is or the pathway is, ang mahalaga in the end, it will be for His glory. And we live for His glory. We don't live for our glory, we live for His glory. So the grace of God will help us endure, and the grace of God will make us more than conquerors. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Yan ang sinasabi na, in all of this, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. Well, ano bang kaibahan ng conqueror sa more than conqueror? No? Magkaiba yan eh. Iba yung conqueror sa more than conqueror. Siguro bigyan ko kayo ng differentiation, ano? Ako, talagang alam ko na tinawag ako ng Panginoon para mag-preach at maghayag ng salita ng Diyos. At kapag na ipangaral ko ang salita ng Diyos, and I felt the pleasure of God, no, I feel that I am a conqueror. Yan. Kasi nagawa ko yung pinagagawa ng Lord in delivering His word. Then, pagka naman po yung love gift sa pagpipreach ko, ibinigay doon sa aking may bahay, kay Pastora Citas. Sa kanya po nabigay yung love gift. Ang nangyari po, siya po yung more than conqueror. No? Na-conquer niya yung conqueror. Well, kidding aside, no, let me just quote what I said in the Global Day of Prayer when I spoke a couple of weeks ago. Dinifferentiate ko po yung kaibahan ng conqueror sa more than conqueror. You know, conquerors defeat, but more than conquerors transform. Conquerors quash their enemies, but more than conquerors redeem their enemies. Conquerors overcome trials and tribulations, but more than conquerors convert trials and tribulations into our helpers and allies. More than conquerors even die so that others may live. So that's what a more than conqueror means. So hindi lang para talunin mo yung iba, kundi para i-win mo sila. Diyan magaling si Ravi Zacharias eh. Hindi niya tinatalo yung kanyang kadibate. Wini-win niya. He was not trying to win an argument, he was trying to win the person. Kaya nga, he's more interested with the questioner rather than the question. Kaya nga, ang daming mga naging believer ni Jesus Christ na dating atheist, dating agnostic, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu. Why? Because he is more than conqueror. Hindi lang tinalo, kundi ipinanalo yung mga tao. No? Hindi tayo nakikipagdebate para manalo tayo sa argumento. Nagpapaliwanagan tayo para maipanalo natin ang mga kaluluwa sa kaluwalhatian ng Panginoon. Isang beses daw si dalawang pastor po ito sa London noong early 19th century na magaling parehong mag-preach ito, si Joseph Parker saka si Charles Spurgeon. One time daw ay sa kanyang pagsasalita, parang napuna o na-criticize ni Joseph Parker yung orphanage nila Charles Spurgeon. No, parang hindi na imamanage ng maigi. Narinig ngayon yun ni Charles Spurgeon at nung naharal siya nung linggo, talagang binanata niya sa pulpito si Joseph Parker, no, for criticizing his orphanage. Nung sumunod na linggo, yung pong mga tao ay nagdagsaan sa church ni Joseph Parker para abangan kung paano namang sasagutin yung pagtira ni Charles Spurgeon sa kanya. Inaabangan nila yung rebuttal. No? Nung nakita ni Joseph Parker na punong-puno yung simbahan at nag-aabang ng kanyang argumento laban kay Charles Spurgeon, ang sabi niya, ang balita ko, sabi niya ganun, tuwing ganitong linggo, nagtitake ng offering si Charles Spurgeon para sa kanyang orphanage. Palagay ko itong magandang opportunity para mag-take tayo ng offering para sa orphanage ni Charles Spurgeon. Alam niyo, natuwa yung mga tao, dumagsa po yung offering, at kinakailangan pang i-empty yung offering plates 3 beses kasi po na-encourage yung mga tao to give all the more, no, for the orphanage of Charles Spurgeon. Nung pong midweek na yon, nakarinig po ng katok sa kanyang bahay itong si Joseph Parker. At nung buksan niya po ang pinto, nakita niya si Charles Spurgeon. At ang sabi ni Charles Spurgeon ganito, "You know, Parker, you have practiced grace on me. You have given me not what I deserve. You have given me what I needed." That's how we conquer. And sometimes, you know, the sufferings that we go through, God can use to our advantage so that we can win others. We can conquer our these obstacles to advance the kingdom of God. Alam po ninyo, nung nakarating sa Roma, itong si Pablo, si Saulo, nakakulong po siya doon. Kung isipin natin, nung napakalungkot namang balita nung nakarating ka nga ng Roma, nakakulong ka naman. Pero alam mo, yung layunin ng Panginoon, ba't siya nakulong? Kasi kung hindi siya nakulong, magiging ano siya, at large. Palakad-lakad, pag-alagala. Wala siyang time para magsulat. So inalaw ng Lord na ma-confine si Apostle Paul so that he will begin to write letters, epistles. And he had the time with Dr. Luke so that Luke could write the book of Acts. At hindi lang yun, dahil nga, alam mo, every 4 hours, nagpapalit ng gwardiya. Yung halos lahat ng mga sundalo, mga gwardiya doon sa Rome, mga Roman soldiers, nagkaroon ng opportunity na magkaroon ng audience with Paul. And they became Christians. That's why, dati, ang Christianity nagsimula sa Jerusalem. Naalala niyo ba yon? And then, nag-branch out sa Antioch, dun sa norte ng Jerusalem. But ultimately, what became the epicenter of Christianity is Rome. At paanong nangyari naging epicenter ng Christianity ang Rome? Sapagkat napakaraming men in uniform who came to know the Lord through the ministry of Apostle Paul while they're being chained with him. And tradition has it, no, na yung mismong nag-execute kay Apostle Paul became his friend. Kung papanoorin niyo po yung Paul the Apostle, the movie, no, si Mauritius na siyang head ng prison na nagbabantay kay Saul, si kay Paul, bagamat nung una ay galit siya kay Paul, eventually, God made a way so that, you know, he can touch the life of this Roman centurion, Dr. Luke and Paul, that radically changed the heart of this Roman centurion. And ultimately, no, he came to know the Lord. So kahit sa panahon ng kamatayan, itong naging avenue para ang mga Roman soldiers na ito ay makakilala sa Panginoon. Kaya the grace of God, you cannot exhaust the grace of God. You cannot resist the grace of God. And you can never hinder the grace of God. Amazing, amazing grace. The grace for salvation, the grace for service, and the grace even in suffering. Kapatid, tanong ko lang sa'yo, sinong naging Ananias ng buhay mo? Nawa ay maging Ananias ka rin sa iba. Sinong naging Barnabas or Bernabe sa iyong buhay? Sana naman maging Barnabas ka din sa iba. At sana ang buhay ni Paul ay naging encouragement sa atin na whether we live or die, we live for Christ. Because the grace of God will always be enough. We will have many questions. Pero sabi nga ni Henry Nouwen, life is not a problem to be solved. There's a lot of questions that we seek for answers. We need answers, but there are no answers and there will be no answers. We just have to live with all these questions. Life is not a problem to be solved or a question to be answered, but life is a journey to be taken with Jesus as your best guide and best friend. I hope that through life, we get to live each day in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will continue to strengthen us and He will carry us through any sufferings, any problems, any setbacks because He cares for you. What an amazing grace of God. So let me pray for you, brothers and sisters. Panginoon, maraming salamat po sa araw na ito. And thank you for the grace that we have seen enfleshed in the life of Ananias, in the life of Barnabas, and even in the life of Saul. At sa panahon ito, Panginoon, marahil merong mga kasama kami nakagaya din ni Saulo na malayo sa Panginoon. And Lord, I just pray that you will do anything possible, use light and even darkness to arrest this person. Kapatid, marahil ito ng panahon para isuko mo ang buhay mo sa Panginoon. Mahal ka niya. And if you want Him to come into your life, you can ask Him directly and personally. You can ask Him, Lord, come into my heart. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. Forgive all my sins. And from now on, I will live for you. Kung pinanalangin mo yung panalangin na yan, si Jesus ay sasa yung puso at sasamahan ka niya habang ikay nabubuhay at tutulungan ka niya magbago. And let's continue to pray. Lord, dalangin ko rin po sa oras na ito. Remind us of the day that we have come to know you, Lord. And pasalamatan namin ang mga taong ginamit mo para makilala ka namin. At kami naman ay gamitin mo, Panginoon, para makakilala ang iba. Lord, pinasasalamatan din namin ang mga Barnabas na ginamit mo to follow us up. Mga taong nag-alaga sa amin, nanalangin para sa amin. Lord, bigyan mo rin kami ng isang puso na kagaya ni Barnabas, a son of encouragement, so that we can encourage others as well. And through this week, Lord God, make us an Ananias. Through this week, Lord God, make us a Barnabas. Make us a blessing to others. Lord, we need your grace for the salvation of the people around us. We need your grace so that we can serve others. And we need your grace in case we are now going through sufferings and trials in life. We give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all praise. In Jesus' name, Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters.